April 7, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Morale Speaks, Block Talk Radio. I'm your host, Elihu Bey. Murad just informed me that he's on his way to the station, to the program. He'll be here shortly. So I just want to go over a few points with you prior to him coming till he get to the station. First off, I want to talk about the Muslim Journal. The Muslim Journal newspaper is the voice of the Muslims in America and throughout the world. I know that a lot of the newspapers are going out of business because of the internet. But a lot of people, the elderly people, don't have access to the internet. And a lot of the young people don't have access to the internet. And more importantly, now that they have the restriction that you can only have a certain amount at the masjid, so a lot of people are not attending the masjid, but they can find out what's going on in the community if they would purchase Muslim Journal. And they should get a copy for themselves, their family, and their neighbors, so that we can increase the Muslim Journal and the awareness of what's taking place that's happening in the community now that this pandemic is preventing a lot of access to a lot of resources that we would have in the community. So I just wanted to mention that is very important. Also, we're coming up on the holy month of Ramadan. Now, the holy month of Ramadan, for those that don't know what the holy month of Ramadan is, it's a fast for 30 days, 29 to 30 days, that we fast from sunup to sundown. And the fast is for Allah. You don't fast to lose weight. You don't fast for any other gain other than you fast for Allah. And it gives you a discipline. It gives you a discipline in those 30 days. If you can withstand, stay away from eating food, then it gives you strength to know that you can discipline yourself against all the evil things that's happening around you and in this world. Also, Ramadan is a very spiritual month. We take our minds off of ordinary things that we do every day, and we put our mind and try to concentrate on Allah, reading the Quran, doing good in the community, helping one another. So it's a blessed month. And most of the people that participate in the Ramadan fast, they find out that at the end of the 30 days or the 29th days, that it's really not difficult. You just change your mind and your attitude. You begin to think about things that's more important than ordinary things, and you put yourself in a position where you kind of extract from your normal day-to-day activity as much as possible. Also, if you are ill or on a journey, you can break your fast and you can make the fast up by days later. Some people ask, well, if I can do charity, do I have to fast? That's one of the obligations, that if you're not able to fast, you can do acts of charity that will give you the same blessing that you would receive if you were fasting. But the Quran also says but if you only knew, you would fast. And the reason why the Quran says if you only knew that you would fast, because fasting gives you a discipline where you can control the things around you. If you can control your own appetite, then certainly you can control the influences and the things that's not good for you around you. It will give you strength to do that. So we are waiting on Imam Murad to come on, and he just called me. My name is Elihu Bey. I come on at Wednesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. And my subject is the Tafsir of Imam Waqi Muhammad, Commentary of the Holy Quran. And every Wednesday and Thursday, we talk about his leadership and the relationship of the Quran and what happens to a believer. When he practices this religion, you have to be a conscious individual in order to accept this religion. We don't accept, we don't just accept religion in blind faith. When you declare your Shahada, you should know what the declaration is and why you're declaring your Shahada. So I just want to read to you briefly. Some of the things that we deal with when we are dealing with the program. So yesterday we talked about the religion convergent to Islam was by blood and conduct. So many nations become Muslims not because someone preached to them, but because they observed the life of good Muslims in their nation and decided that they wanted to be a Muslim. That happened much of Africa, and Africans saw the life of the Muslims and they were attacked to that life, certainly. They were preachers. But more of the conversion came by excellent examples of Islamic life that Muslims live. Out of necessity, the Muslims traded and visited with Africans. And many of them came to introduce the religion. But the religion grew in Africa because of the good examples that Muslims show to all people by living the excellence of Islamic life. And this is the way we want to be. We want to live the Islamic life so that it may be an influence others who observe how we live. Indonesia, a country that has the biggest Muslim population, was converted in the same way. Indonesia has over 100 million Muslims. Nobody preached them into the religion with a missionary movement to convert them. Indonesia became Muslim because it dealt with Muslim traders and Muslim business people. They were converted by the lifestyle of the good Muslims. These are the facts that everyone should know, especially the Muslims. For centuries, there has been an ugly war of false propaganda against the religion of Islam. And we want to correct this incorrect view by our example and lifestyle. It is not good for an imam to come out on Friday, Juma, and Sunday with his khutbah lecture and then go back, and the people not see him anymore until the next Friday. So this is especially so if he is not working on a job or if he does not have a business to run. Prophet Muhammad didn't regard those who only devote themselves to ritualistics and spiritual devotion with the same regards as who were devoted spiritually, as well as working to help build a foundation of the community. Prophet Muhammad was a man who did both. Allah tells Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him in the Quran, rise up and warn. And in another place he says, stand to prayers by night, but not all night, half of it or a little less. Truly the rising by night is most potent for government, for governing, pardon me, the soul, and most suitable for framing the words. So true there is by day prolonged occupation with ordinary duties. We learn from this verse that God is telling the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, not to spend so much time in prayer at night that he would be too tired to carry out his duties to the community during the day. So Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had no off days. He was busy every day. There are some Muslims who take Sunday as a day of rest. Sunday is no rest day. Sunday is a work day. Muslims have no rest, not even Friday. So God tells us that when we hear the call to prayer on Friday, leave off business and respond to the call to prayer. And when the prayer is over, go our many different ways back to productive work. And then essentially knocks on the conscience. The Muslim community should be a dynamic community rising up to every challenge. Our call to prayer, the adhan, essentially means that which knocks on the conscience. It is designed or formed to get our awareness, to get our attention. We give the call 5 times daily to make the Muslims aware of their concerns, and our most important concern is the worship of God, to respond to him as he ordered us. On Friday, when the call to prayer is made, we are told by God to leave off the worldly and business concerns, respond to him to the Jumma, congregational prayer. So when the prayer is concluded, we are to return to those things concerned with building and sustaining life of a society. If we understand this religion, we are in a good situation. Those who profess to be Muslims but don't understand their religion cannot be in a good situation. Muslims must understand what is fundamentally essential, their religion. They must understand the major concerns and then make an effort to assist and extract themselves to carry out the obligation of Muslims in this religion, in this home, and to their neighborhoods. Neighborly concerns. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, Prophet Muhammad, prayers, and we must never forget that the Prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him, is a witness regarding us, and we are a witness regarding the people, all people. We cannot be a witness against the people of this earth if we do not conform to the model of excellence that God has revealed for us. We can only witness when we are the best example. Only then that we can be a witness for a people. I cannot recognize the good life of someone else if I am not associated with what God is, with what is good. The more I am committed to stand for God and to promote good, the better witness I am for others who are doing good. As Muslims, we must lead the way in establishing what is good and clean. and we must prohibit what is wrong. Islam, the nature of the universe, it is Muslim. God tells us in the Holy Quran, it is he who has named you Muslim both before and in this revelation. We should understand that all the prophets of God were Muslim. This includes Adam, the first man, who is called our father. We should also understand that the religion of Islam built upon the excellence that God has given every man. And just as the nature of all the prophets were Muslims, so the nature of everyone in our religion. So, but what is a Muslim? Muslim means one who submits himself to the will of God, which is found in the nature of all things. Muslim is the major discipline for the maintaining and the advancing human life. It is the very nature of the Muslim to seek peace. God has given every creature its nature, and that nature is Muslim. You may say, do you mean the nature of a snake is Muslim? Yes, a snake wants peace. We also believe that the nature of the celestial bodies, the earth, the sun, the moon, the many stars, and other planets is Muslim. Science tells us that if there is confusion or disorder in the universe, there is a force that brings about order and peace. So this is itself tells that the nature of the universe is Muslim. Thus, Al-Islam is a religion after the very nature in which God created man. All religious people don't see God in the same way. But if they are sincere in their belief, God will help them. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, every child is born a Muslim, but it is the circumstances in which he is born that makes him Jew, Christian, or others. God says that he has established man on the order of the planet, on the pattern, pardon me, found in the universe. He formed man to that pattern, and that is the pattern of believer we call Islamic behavior. It should be clear to the Muslim that what Al-Islam offers in terms of behavior is the kind of behavior God creatures should have. Al-Islam offers its adherents the kind of future God creatures should look for in this life and in the hereafter. The Muslim life is not a life of conflict. It is a life of unity. The Muslim doesn't see spiritual life in any kind of conflict with community life, particular life or economic life. But because man is an emotional, moral, and spiritual creature, spiritual life is a necessary condition for him, he is to make real progress in the field of mutual reality. The essential life for man, if he is to make real progress on this earth, is spiritual life. And this life begins with a belief in our heart, our minds, and in our whole, and our soul, that we are accountable to one God who is superior, perfect, absolute, and eternal. All religious people don't see God in the same way. But if they are sincere in their belief, God will help them. La ilaha will bring a man out of hell. And we believe that if they are sincere, God will one day bless them to see clearly. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, has said that as long as you hold on to the one God, eventually that belief will deliver you even though you are in hell. Human nature, the base that supports everything else, nature appreciates it for its whole function and role. No blame it are not blamed for the deviation. The natural concerns of man is excellent. God says that he has made man in the most excellent mold or form. Muslim rejects the idea that human nature is gross matter, a situation for sin. We see the human nature as the base that supports everything else. Okay, we're getting ready for our beloved brother, Imam Murad Muhammad, to come on. So we will continue this tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Barad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7:20 this evening. And I want to thank you, ma'am, Eli Obey, for sitting in and speaking to you all about Ramadan, the Muslim Journal, and et cetera. And this is why I have to be more than one person in charge. It should be many, so you have a backup. So you can have people that can step in and have the qualifications to keep you on the right path, the righteous path. We call it Sirat al-Mustaqim. And brothers and sisters, you got to understand that because of COVID-19, everything is backed up. Everything is so congested. And most people don't understand and don't have a clue what is going on. However, if you are independent, separated, don't want to be with anybody, yes, you're going to catch more hell then you should. You bring it upon yourself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name, did not create us to be by ourselves. But Satan has done a wonderful job in separating us. And I hear many things come from females and many things come from male, and they both don't know unconsciously they're not serving Allah. They're not serving God. They're serving Satan and don't have a clue that they are serving Satan. And yes, we ask you to support the Muslim Journal because Donald Trump, the former president of the United States of America, told you it's bad news. And that's one thing he got correct. There's bad news out there. Fake news, he calls it. And yes, they are faking you out. We don't have the proper communication to allow us to understand and to realize that we are not able to do the things that we need to have done. Isn't that amazing? And it's amazing because we do not understand without a shadow of a doubt that Satan is tricking us, deceiving us. Matter of fact, he's stabbing us in the back. He has bamboozled us. And we don't know who Satan is. And most of us really don't give a damn until something happens. And then when that thing happened to you, you come into the understanding that you don't know what to do. My topic this evening was God will not help you if you don't help yourself. And that's important that you should know that. But God gave us the five senses and gave us the ability and as educators in the womb of our mothers how to stay in our nature. And that's one thing that Imam Eliel was speaking about, the nature of the human being. And everything else is not in the same ability that God has given his human being, Khalifa, the Khalifa of the earth. But some people took the word Khalifa being just like the king. I am the king. I am the ruler. I am the dictator. Yes, I'm over top of all of you. That's not what the Khalifa is. Matter of fact, there's no individual on this planet can say he as an individual is a Khalifa. Did you get it? You can't call yourself singular a Khalifa. The Khalifa is plural. Khalifa represents the human being came last on this earth to be the ruler, to be the overseer, to be the leader, but not a dictator. When you begin to dictate to people, you have just left this religion behind. You are not portraying what you was created to do. And God don't like us. Well, we are human, and yes, we all commit sin. And you have to stand up, and you have to face your sin. To who? Man? No. To your mother and father? No. You're a grown man now. You have to answer to God. And you have to beg God for forgiveness. A child don't have to beg God. But God, the child believes that mama is God. And if daddy is doing the right thing, that's God. When you was young, you didn't know who Santa Claus was. You believed that Santa Claus was white, white beard. Yes, they put that in our mind until one day a little girl ended up kissing Santa Claus. Well, who was this girl that kissed Santa Claus? Well, let's see. She must have had a baby. She could have been 17, 18, 19, or 20, but she had a baby. And that little child caught mama kissing Santa Claus. You know the song. It was a hit. I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus last night. But she had no clue until she saw who Santa Claus really were. It was her father. Now, brothers and sisters, there's an exception to the rule. There's white men that we refer to, Cajuns married to African American. So if that little girl saw her daddy, who was white, kissing her mother, yes. Santa Claus is white. Her father is white. So maybe that's who was kissing Santa Claus. But the majority was the black man, the brown man, the yellow man. Last night she saw daddy kissing Santa. She saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. And that was daddy. So this is how they trick us and con us. Well, today you don't know who Satan is. And you think Satan carries a pitfall and he's red like fire. And he got long ears. This is the way they drew Satan for us. And he's in the ground. Everything in the ground that belongs to the devil. Isn't that amazing? And so we grew up thinking these things and fell victim to those things. And unconsciously, we're the same way. We are the same way, brothers and sisters. And this is why we're so confused, because we don't want to accept Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has raised among many amongst us that we didn't accept. I found out, and I'm going to share it with you, and it makes a lot of sense, because I was talking to the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Just so happened, he's an imam. Imam Muslim Abui, we call him Musa, Muslim Abui. But isn't it amazing he's the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. And I said something to him. Matter of fact, it was today. I said, I had no idea that your father, Booker T. Washington, day was yesterday. I wanted to call and tell. Now, if my children are listening, they will honestly tell you, I don't remember nobody's birthday. Matter of fact, I asked my siblings that tell me the night before, when is mommy's birthday? Because you should know your mother's birthday. I did not. I didn't know my wife's birthday. I don't know my children's birthday. It's just numbers I don't keep in my head. And those are days, those are months, those are years. So I don't remember that. But I asked everybody, I got a fault. Tell me a week before. Inform me if, in fact, when is your birthday, and I'll be happy to sing happy birthday, and I'll be happy to give to you that which I should be able to give to you. Yes, I'm able to do that. But to know Booker T. Washington's birthday, I heard a young man on the radio say. And when he said it, I said, oh, my God, today is his birthday. But guess what? Today is not his birthday. Today, yesterday's birthday was the slave master that enslaved him when he came out of the womb. They counted that day in slavery. So they don't know. They believe it's the same year, maybe the same month. So he didn't know his birthday. But, of course, they're not going to tell us because they didn't count our birthday and didn't mean anything to them. It makes a lot of sense. Now, Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, and I'm Murat Muhammad, your host tonight. But sometimes our station will go off. If it goes off, it's because they are in charge. And because we had two hosts on, one went off, one went on, they could cut us off if they choose to. And if, in fact, they do and I can't come on, it's me. I don't control them. I'm the one who pays the fiddle and calls the tune. But this because we need our own communication. They will not allow me if, in fact, it cuts me. They won't allow me to enter debt. Why we are Muslims, and why is no different from one human being and the next human being. But Allah says no difference from one prophet to another prophet. And if, in fact, you accept your own religion and abide by the rules of your religion, Allah will not charge you or even be jealous of that you choose another religion over top of Islam. Why? He gave you permission. He gave you permission to be free to make your choice. So if, in fact, God did that, brothers and sisters, who are we to tell you what you should believe in and what you should not? Now, I can introduce you to it, but I can't make you do it. And if, in fact, I'm trying to push my will on you, I just belittle God that created Al-Islam. He don't need us to do that. How do we get you to gravitate to us? How do we get you to touch us and feel us? How do we get you to want to associate with us? How do we get you to listen to us? For it doesn't come from the physical that I threaten you, I insult you, I don't give a damn about you, so you want to gravitate to me. No, it's our character. Our character is everything. And when people see you evolving with a good character, a good attitude, a good personality, and respect for others, when they see that, they want to know more. About what? You. Who are you? I'm a human being. Who are you? I'm the creation of God. Who are you? I'm the Khalifa. But for some strange reason, that the Khalifa today it's a disgrace to cover the name, but he's blessed to be the Khalifa. Just like you sisters as Christians, you brothers as a Christian, you sisters as Jewish, you brothers as Jewish, you who chooses Jehovah Witness, you who choose to be Seventh-day Adventure, you that choose to be whatever you want, you can't take away your freedom, and you definitely cannot take the nature in which you was created. So you're a human being. So those who come into Al-Islam and mistreated, are they a Muslim? Yep, a Muslim that keeps everybody in Al-Islam. What about Christianity? A Muslim and Christianity choose to keep everybody, or Judaism, or Jehovah Witness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Should I go on? It's the same, but that's Satan. Satan is doing his job, and Satan ain't giving up. Don't you ever think that he's going to give up. He is not giving up. Look at today. Just think about it. Black folks are literally being killed, being murdered. We have lost so many of us, it's not even funny. They put it on TV. You ever go to your phone and you're out and you want to see the case that's going on with George Floyd? Why you can't get it? Why are they playing yesterday but not today? It's all tricks. They con you to get discouraged and don't want to listen. Now, most of us can't stay home and watch it, but you can watch it on your, if you got 2G, G2, G5, I don't care what kind of G you got. You got the technology to give it to you, but they won't give it to you. They don't want billions of people to see what's going on because things are happening that's unbelievable. How is it that a guy murders? Literally, he's a murderer. Literally, he don't like black folks. Hasn't came out yet, so I believe they're going to bring it out, that he had a beef with George, that police officer, had a beef with George on a different job. It was bouncers. And he must have said something to him. And because he was a tough guy, that coward couldn't do nothing to George. As soon as he had an opportunity to have a gun, as soon as he had an opportunity to lock his hands in his back, as soon as he had an opportunity to put his hand on his neck and knowing perfectly well that he subdued him because he couldn't do nothing. And the other one's like a fool holding his leg. Why? Because he probably can get up. Now, you saw this, but they want to justify it, that he was a threat because he was a big guy. He was a threat because he was a tough guy before. Because you remember, keep in mind, he used the phrase, oh, you tough guy? Well, when did he act tough? He was crying. Please don't do this to me. Please don't do this. What makes him tough? He's talking about before. Before. So this is premeditated. They held him until he came to do what he wanted to do all the time. Because he couldn't do it if he was standing up 6'3", strong, mean. I think he was taller than that. However, he was taller than the police officer. So it sends a message to you, how could this happen? How could they go around shooting women in the head? How they can go around and just assassinate your family? How could they do this? How could they do that? What is going on? But you don't try to figure it out. This is what Satan does. Now, brothers and sisters, yes, Ramadan is coming. But Ramadan is allowing us to prepare for the whole year. We get into the groove. We're going to start thinking about ourselves. You don't have to ask a brother, is he fasting? It's none of your business. But what is he fasting for? It's none of your business. But this is to make the individual strong in his morals, strong in his spirit, strong in his taqwa. Ramadan helps you to do that if you choose. And then if, in fact, you study in and you come with an explosion in your mind of what you are doing and why you're doing, that's the night of power. Isn't that amazing? Why is it an odd day? Could have been an even day. What is an odd day? Now, odd is different than even. Because when you even something out, there's got to be some more there to make it even. But odd stands by itself. You are odd individual trying to come together to what? That you can fast, you can abstain from food, you can pray more than anybody. Is that what God wants from us? Or are you trying to erase your sins? Are you trying to connect with your spirit? Are you trying to connect with your soul that talks to you? All of a sudden, all that physical stuff go out the window because you can't see your soul. You can't see your heart unless someone open you up and show it to you. All of these vital organs is a necessity that keeps you alive. Are you in tune with it? I don't think so. You're not even in tune with your five senses. You have literally forgotten your five senses. And the reason you forgot your five senses, you do the most despicable, unintelligent. Why, brothers and sisters, you become stuck on stupid. You lose your wife because you don't use your five senses. You lose your husband because you don't live your five senses. Organ because you don't have five senses. Something tells you, why would I want to hurt my husband and allow him to go out there in that jungle, to go out there and face Satan head on? But I'm going to give him hell in the house. Why? This is my house. Why? I'm in charge. Why? I'm the boss of the house. No, you're not. If you go and check your history and find out where the hell you came from, if you find out the things that you did in your history, was you the boss of yourself or you allowed yourself just go every direction but the right direction? Then you finally get a husband or a brother, you finally get a wife. And now you're supposed to have some stability in life. No, it's a repeat. It's a repeat of what one has done to you, sister, is what someone has done to you, brother. So y'all got hell in the house, giving each other hell. Two people sick can't take care of the other one, and two people that's evil and deceitful and kind and wants to come up with all kinds of things to hurt one another. That is not peace. That surely is not El Islam. That's not even Christianity or Judaism. It's not neither one. Because Allah asks you to help yourself and help yourself in kind. And we thought self in kind means you black just like me. Self in kind means to you I'm an African American and you are African American. Self in kind to you for all the women. I'm a woman. For self and kind to you, for all the men, I'm a man. No, the self and kind is just like that human being that was created just like you, came through the womb just like you, raised as an infant just like you, went into the ground in that same dirt just like you. Self and kind. Who is the self and kind? Your neighbor, you have no kind of respect for your neighbor. You have no kind of respect for the ones down the street or those who you meet. That is not El Islam. And ain't nobody tell you that's El Islam. Want for yourself what you want for others. Do unto others like you do for yourself. Even if you had a maid. And that maid is the best cleaner because you can't clean. You filthy as I don't know, care nothing about dust. You don't care nothing about where your hands been. But here come one in here that's your servant that comes in, cleans up for you, and makes sure what you don't do, she do, but you treat her like a slave. You teach that man that runs your business, but he don't have a pot to do anything in. So therefore, what do? To him? You mistreat him. No. Let's hear what Prophet Muhammad says about that. He says, excuse me, brother. As-salamu alaykum. Praise on, Rasuli, messenger of God. He said, why you call that man a slave? He's your slave? He said, well, let me ask you a question. Do we eat the same food you eat? No. Do we dress in the same clothes you dress in? No. Do he has respect like you got respect? No. Do you feed him the way you have to feed him as you feed yourself? No. He said, I have to do all that. I said, well, let him free. The prophet said, you get blessings if you let him go free. That was the whole foundation is what the prophet was trying to say. If you're going to mistreat him, release him. Let him go free so he can do for himself what you will not. So we don't have slaves. Now, I knew that on my own. Because if you go shopping with me, I'm not buying anything if I don't buy something for you. Why? I got the money. I wear custom suits. You with me? You wear custom suits. You with me? I buy the same food that you should buy. This is in your cart. I have a great deal of money. I got a lot of people I have to take care of, but I'm going to make sure you are taken care of. Want for your brother that which you want for yourself. But all of a sudden, that went out the window. So they become holy. They become holy during the month of Ramadan. I don't believe it. I believe it's a fake out. And I'm not worried about if you eat when nobody's looking. That's not what Ramadan is about. That's not because you make so many prayers. Because Muhammad the Prophet never came out to Ramadan. Oh, you didn't know that. And you know why? You know why, brothers and sisters? Because he didn't want you to leave your house during the month of Ramadan and make you think it was compulsory why he didn't come. Because he knew if you saw how he did Ramadan amongst his family, he might have came out once in a while, May. I can't tell you that, but I do know the majority, he did not come out. And the reason why is why I told you. Because nothing's compulsory in Islam. So he didn't want you to come out. Then we have these wrong prayers. Yes. We read the Quran and we make rock eyes. We used to make 20 and 30 of them. Now we make 11. And if you don't go the distance, then you bail out and do the rest at home. Who made that up? But it sounds good. It felt good. Well, I don't weigh that. He don't weigh how much prayers you do. Satan makes the same prayers. Close the ranks. Don't let Satan in. So Satan ain't going nowhere, brother. Oh, you don't know that jinn. That jinn is in you. So where is Satan? In you. Are the jinn in Prophet Muhammad? Prayers, peace be upon him. Yes. He said it. The jinn is in me. I made my jinn Muslim, he said. So your job is to make that a Muslim, but in your mind, You think she's flying around. Close the right. Don't let them in. And then you put your two feet together. What's down there but your feet that you walk on? So it can't be down there. Close the ranks. Touch each other. Be in a 44-degree angle. If you was in a 44-degree angle, you would be touching each other. But we have to spread our leg to touch the next brother's leg, and don't let him not see that you ain't touch him. He want to hit your leg. You want to smack him. You touching me for? Because that's how they see light. And this is the stupidity they was taught. But your heart, I feel better you say shoulder to shoulder. Because my heart ain't down there. And Allah judges the heart. But where is your heart? In your feet? So what are you worrying about touching my feet? But if we close in the ranks, as you ask, or heart to heart, that's where God judges you. Heart to heart. He don't judge none of your rituals. And we say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And you have to understand that, brothers and sisters, because if you don't understand it, we're being hoodwinked. You know, I was talking to Musa about a lot of things, and I was talking to him about when I did Juma in Washington, D.C., and went to 138 foreign countries. That was a great achievement with me. Now, I go to 200 foreign countries, to be exact, but I don't teach Juma. I'm not the critique, and surely I'm not giving the kupa. But in my line of work, I'm known in those foreign countries. But that was the first time that I was able to deliver the kupa to 138 countries. But I got results. Because when we went to our library, we found out thousands of them go to my library. You can't lie about that. Musa picks it up and says, you got a great crew that comes to your library. Because why? I'm a khalifa. In the sense of the word, I am a community. So when I use the word khalifa, I'm talking about a whole entire community of the human beings. We're a khalifa. Call me imam. Am I the imam now? No, I'm just like you. Make mistakes just like you. Trying my best to give you what Allah has given me. If it's good, I'm going to give it to you. If it's bad, I might tell you what to stay the hell away from because I fell victim. And I know what it feels to fall. Yes, you share it. It's called wisdom. Wisdom, you have to experience it. It's not knowledge. You have to experience it for yourself. I accept because they are doctors that call me doctors. But I'm a doctor in obedience to Allah. I'll be there any day. Every day of the week, every month, every year, my brother, every second, I'll be obedient to Allah. That's the only way you're going to make it. If you don't make it in this world, it's because you forgot God until you get hurt, until you slip and fall, it wakes you up. It allows you to come to your senses that something is wrong. So we say with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, your praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gifts and the blessings of the mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant, messenger of God, and what follows that translation of that salutation to the last prophet, Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. That we realize is mentioned in the Bible, in the Torah, in the holy books, in the holy Quran. We say, surely Allah, the mighty, speaks the truth. We say, Bismillah, ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, we'll be out of me. Wasa'asa, wasalam, wasa'asa, wali kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salakallah. Wadeen. Brothers and sisters, I cannot say to all of you what you should do and how you should do it with this COVID-19. It really disturbs me that this was a great opportunity for us to unite because we have nothing else to do. We're at home. They just open up certain businesses and allow you to be able to go into. But I don't see our development growth in sharing what Allah has given to us with our Christians. Yes, we come together, which we call in the faith. I never liked that phrase. You in one face lying and conning, but it don't produce nothing. And because it doesn't produce nothing, it disturbs me. And because we're not elevating, it disturbs me. But you can't come together with your own community because you have a problem that you are the leader and the ruler, but can't produce anything for the masses of the people to learn. Got to work with our foreign brothers overseas. We accept our Jews, our Christians, our Hindus, our Buddhists in the way of righteousness. We should accept them. We all need to come together and sit down and discuss the way of righteousness. Nothing else. The way of righteousness. We work together, community, to work together for the better of society. God asked us Muslims in our religion, al-Islam, is to work hard to bring us all together as one community. This is Allah talking to us in the Holy Quran, brothers and sisters. But for some reason, we are not doing that. And so therefore, it looks like we are literally catching hell. We're catching hell because it's clear evidence that you are not doing what Allah asks you to do. You're not coming together as a community. And if you're not coming together as a community, God's not going to help you. You must help yourself. And if you help yourself, Allah will come and help you to go further. But God asks us in the Holy Quran that we do not have any conflict with each other. He is speaking about the religious and the relationship the religious people have with Muslims and Christians and who claim they're following God in the spirit. Now, how are you following God in the spirit when you're arguing and fighting, you're cheating and conning and tricking? We have no contention with our agreement, with our arguments. Those who divide us from the truth. Their arguments with those who are hypocritical. We all have good in us, but hypocrites is amongst us, and we don't realize that we are not talking about people that has faith, that are united with the truth and justice and righteousness. We ain't talking about those people. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. We are not talking about those people, because being righteous and being able to help one another is our religion. And we identify with them because the curse of righteousness, all of us. God said to us in the Holy Quran, if we would study the context, go and allow other people come together, all should come together to righteousness, as if you are in a race for all that is good. God is challenging us as a people. Only the righteousness, only the righteous to be in a race to all is good. Only righteous people will do that. God did not separate the Jews or the Christians or any other religion. He don't change that, brothers and sisters. Who changed it? We changed it, not God. And so until we come to that conclusion, till we realize who we are as a people, well, Allah is not going to help you. Because why? You chose not to help yourself. The first thing we should have to know is you have to regroup. You have to regain consciousness that we are Muslims and we know that we are going nowhere. While Islam teaches that studying your religion is by reading the Holy Quran. Studying your religion, Allah says, is like reading the Holy Quran. Study your religion is not studying the hadith. I don't have anything wrong with the hadith that's authentic. And 99.5% is not authentic. And the half of that 1% is not authentic. So which one, brothers, sheikh, imam, that's authentic? I'm quite sure if gold and silver, and I'm quite sure in oil, I'm quite sure with all the necessary things that's good for you in this life don't come to us. Someone circumvents it. But yet a hadith can get right to us. Isn't that amazing? But there's no one qualified, bona fide, and I'm this, to say which one of those hadith is a part of the authentic hadith. Are you reading for Sister Aisha, peace and blessing be upon her? Are you reading that hadith? I accept. I accept 100% what she said. You reading about what our Baka said? Not what who said for him. Our Baka, I will accept. But I accept. But they wasn't written during their time. Someone wrote those books after. But the Holy Quran was given to us by Allah himself, brothers and sisters. Allah gave us the Holy Quran himself through the angel Jibril to the human being. The human being, the Khalifa. The Khalifa who came from Adam, his father Adam. And he was able to teach him. Oh, Abraham had the knowledge to seek reference in Allah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came after all of that, knew nothing about Islam, and used him as the perfect example to do what? To recite the Quran. ID. Oh, it didn't exist. Recite the Holy Quran without any other book. To recite what God says. Nobody else said it but Allah. So how is it that God wrote a book and he left something out? How is it he left the woman out? How is it he left the children out? How is it that he left the so-called American Negro out? How is it that Allah didn't know that we was going to be put into slavery? Well, Allah says first come difficulties. See, that's a powerful book because it's written by God. Man can't take credit. Can't take credit. Abraham can't take credit. Jesus cannot. And Muhammad, the prophet, cannot take credit. So why are you not reading the Holy Quran? Oh, you need someone to read to you. Well, brothers and sisters, did I tell you you got five senses? You know how powerful five senses is? When your baby came out the womb, it didn't have the knowledge of this world. They all had five senses. They all spoke the words of God. They cried. Every living creature in this world as a human being cried God's language. Put them behind the wall. You will not know their language, but they all sound the same. You can't tell one from a different who's a Poland, who's a African, who is a Italian. How about Japanese, Cajun, who is Jewish, who is African? You didn't know any of that. But you came here with God's knowledge. And you was taught in the womb, called the class womb. Oh, what did he have that mom and daddy couldn't give him? He knew how to blink his eyes. He knew how to cry God's language. He knew how to cough and sneeze. All his hearing was acute. He's trying to figure out what you're saying. But he operated, and she operated, when I say he, in her nature. And she grew. It's you who changed them to your culture. But you can't change their nature. But Satan wants to change it. So why are we not reading the Holy Quran? What happens that the billions of Christians never got to the Quran? Billions of Judaism, them people never got to the Quran. Why? Some stopped at Moses. Some stopped at Abraham, some stopped at Jesus, but they weren't taught the seal of the prophet of 1,400 years ago, and they didn't teach you what is the Quran. It seems like me. If you want to know how to pay your taxes, you go find your book that teaches you about taxes. It seems like to me, if you want to go and get a job, you will study what that job is about and how you should talk and act and dress to get that job. When you want to be a football player or a basketball player, oh, you will go study that. Matter of fact, you will practice and practice so you can make the team to see if, in fact, you can learn how to serve God. You stand still. You can't give us that credit in Al-Islam because those who study reads all of Revelation. And for in our religion, we are taught that one prophet is over the other. But they all were sent to mankind around the world. And Allah says, I have never left one human community of people and not raise one up from amongst them. Whoa, that's amazing. But yes, one raised up amongst us, named the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we didn't want to accept him. Because why? He came from us. And then the imam, the one who brought us the prayer, we don't want to go amongst him. Why? Because he looked like us. So everybody gets a message of God but us. Isn't that amazing? We are Muslims. We know where we are going. But we are not concerned for anyone else. We're not. So we have found where we are going. That is Al-Islam. But some kind of way, it has awakened our mind to see our religion that God gave to us, of the Muhammad and the prophets taught the way of the Quran. And we love all righteous-minded people as Muslims. You're a Muslim in your nature, and you have righteousness. Because of what? Because of your nature, brothers and sisters. Your nature is what makes you who you are. Your nature tells you where you're going. But for some reason or another, we do not have a clue. And that's why I said to you, God says in the Quran that we do not have any contention with you, my Christian, my brother, my Jews, my brother. We have no contention because we can talk with you, about you, and have faith and unite with the truth, with the justice. That's what we want. That's where we're going. And this is what you should need out of life, but we don't have it. Brothers and sisters, I try to do deals unbelievable. And this deals with a rabbi. Now, he knows the book. And I have contentions because a lot of my associates think it should happen overnight. And a lot of my associates that's in my corporation feels that it should happen like now. They've been working on it for 2 months. See, I have a different take. See, if I see I'm wasting my time, I'm out of there. You see, when a man tries to love his wife and he tries to do the best he can do, and sometimes the wife gives up. And when the wife gives up, the man decides he out of there because he can't give up. He got too many people depending on him, not just his wife and children, his community. So he makes a choice. He got to leave because this one's going to hold him back. I got a call one time, and I won't tell you her name, and she said, go watch this movie because it's about you. And I had no clue, but the early part of the movie, it wasn't me. Because he was taking stuff from his fiance. And his fiance didn't like the idea she was spending her money on him. But the sisters came along, you know, misery loves company. And you haven't produced nothing with this new invention you have. And it's been 2 years. It's been 3 years. He said, don't worry, Dolly. It's going to happen. And she put a great deal of money in it. And then one day he had a job for her, one of her sister's husbands, and someone called him. He dropped the job and ran because he knew that he was going to get this deal. And the guy offered him $10,000. He said, I'm not taking no $10,000. He went as high as $100,000. He said, if I'm not a partner and you're not going to give me more money, I pass. He came home. His sister was there. He said, darling, turn that $100,000 here. You're a damn fool. What's wrong with you? We're broke. And she's thinking about her own money that he owed her, which was a few $100,000. He said, I need my money. I need my money, right? And don't tell me what you're doing. You stupidly didn't take a $100,000. You need to get out. He was messed up. He didn't know what to do. But he left with his little adventure. And then all of a sudden, he gets a call from an old friend. She says, are you still doing what you're doing? He said, yes. Well, you need to meet me. I'm going to take you somewhere. She took him to a major corporation. And he told what he wanted and such and such and such and such. Well, guess what? He made a deal. He was so happy with the deal that he wanted to meet his former fiance. And he took her some flowers. And I believe she paid about $200,000-$300,000. He gave her $1 million. Now she was hot because he'd gone and she felt that she should be a part of his success. He left her. So she took him in the courtroom. And she said, I paid $200,000 for him and such and such. And the judge said, didn't you put him out? Yes. But he made it and such and such. He said, well, I'm not trying to get in your business, but money did he give you? When he found out she got $1 million and paid her house that she owed a note on, which was about $350,000 off, he said, young lady, if you are not satisfied, you are ingrate. She started screaming in the courtroom. Yeah, I'm telling you the story because it's all what I'm saying. And what happened? She wanted to come see him. She was messed up because he always wanted to live in this conglomerate, beautiful condominium that he paid $2.5 million for. And she come in there all sexy and wanted him to marry her. And his wife came out. He said, this is my wife. And make a long story short, I won't tell you the rest, but she gave them hell. That's what happened to us. I had an assistant. I loved her then, I love her now. But things happen in life. And you don't play around with a female in Islam if you ain't married. That's what this Islam is all about. But she said something very strange because she did all my typing. But I'm going to tell you how she said it, and I'm going to tell you what I know. She said, Murat, we doing some big deals. I was very impressed at all these deals that you put together. I said, this man is brilliant. and I'm a deal closer. So she said, but nothing came to Ferusha in 4 years. Well, what do you think about that? So you know how I took it? She was feeling sorry for me. She was feeling sorry for me. She didn't want that to happen. She wanted me to be successful. And I said to her, my sister, you know what patience is? Patience is virtue. Patience is continuity, repetition. Patience is consistently. Patience is to give it 100%, then 110%. That's what patience is. But the reality of patience, it can't happen unless Allah's will. Well, I have patience in Allah. He said, that was so beautiful. Yes, he said, she hit it. That is so beautiful that you have patience in Allah. Do you have patience in God, like Job? Do you, brothers and sisters, have patience in God, like Job? Or you just thought Job was nobody. Job was wealthy. Job was successful. Job had plenty of land and families. But what happened to Job? Well, Satan, just think about it. Satan went to Allah and said, Job serves you because his wealth. Oh, Lord, allow me to take his wealth away from him. Allah said, go right ahead. And he took his cattle and his land from him. He had nothing. Oh, Job, you need to curse God. You lost everything. There's no God but Allah. Wow. He has faith in Allah. Oh, Lord, he only doing that because of his children. You gave them beautiful children, Lord. He said, do what you got to do, Satan. He came home, blood up to his ankles of all his children was dead. Yes, he went down to his knees. Oh, my Lord, what has happened? What did I do wrong? There's no God but you, Lord. So Iblis went to God and said, he's a handsome man. He's strong and people gravitate to him. Let me strike him with a disease. He said, go right ahead. Struck him with a disease. And that disease was bumps all over his face, and you couldn't touch him, or you would catch it. He said, Job, look what God has done to you. Curse him. See that he had. Curse him. He went down in Sajda and said, there's no God but Allah. That's the story. And it's all through Revelations, our ancestors and your grandmother used to say, do you have the patience of Job? And he became more wealthy than he ever was. Now, brothers and sisters, that's a great story. I'm telling you, Joseph, we call him a man with unbelievable Job had. But just drop that one vow. And Job, drop it, what you come up with. Job. He was on the job for God. And in the Holy Quran, it said, oh, you workers. Oh, you workers, welcome you working for Satan or are you working for Allah? You should ask yourself that question. Because if we were working together for a community and to work together for a better society, my God, God asked us to be Muslim in our religion of Islam, is to work hard to bring us all together as one. That's my job. I'm on the job. I'm Joseph. He's a human being just like me. I'm Joseph. I want to be able to communicate together as one. I'm working. Yes, and it costs you. Sometimes you get tired, you get sleepy. Sometimes your wife will say, no, you need to put that pen down. You need to put that book down. But you can't. I'm on the job. What disease and I'm struck with? What illness and I'm struck with? Did my children leave? Did my children, are they all been murdered? Did I lose my land? What is my problem, brothers and sisters? The material spirit. Yes. The material, spiritual things in life got you all hung up. You can't come out. You can't wear your clothes. You can't go dancing. You can't go do the things and go to New York. You can't do none of them things because you're upset. So subconsciously, you have left your spirituality and adopted material substance and don't know it. We are Muslims. We are awake of the fact that revelation for Muslims is also for the whole world. It ain't just for we, the Muslims, as you see it. Yes, if you taught that every human, every insect is a Muslim, every animal is a Muslim, if you teach it the seven seas is a Muslim, the land, the earth is a Muslim, so why is it that we don't understand that we're working for the whole world? If the whole world will accept it, what Allah has revealed to us, we will be able to manage it. Of the spiritual things and the material things, we'll be able to understand what it is for coming together collectively. The problem for most of us is that we are separated. These two concerns is messing our minds up. We believe that there's a spirituality, but we can't connect it. We don't have no concern. It left from the preachers and the material substance. They cannot teach us the difference. It's bound our minds. It's bound our souls. And both of these concerns is a burden. It burdens us equally. That means everybody. Everybody has a serious problem. Everybody don't understand the problem they have. It's a material substance. It's a spiritual. Our spirituality should know the difference. These two concerns and the spirit and the material substance can take you to your death. And some of us are working hard all week and party on the weekend. That's what we do. We want to party. Today it's party on Friday. Now today is partying because here come Ramadan. Partying when we have Idul Fitr, Idul Hot. What are we partying? We're forgetting our children. We're forgetting our neighbors. We're forgetting our brother Christians and Jews all we doing is partying. But the sensitivity in us is the spirit. That's what allows you to be who you are. The meaning of spirit is that what allows man to understand that spiritually you must be connected. Connected to what? To your soul. Connected to what? To your deem al-fitra. Connected to what? To your taqwa. The spirit. The spirituality of the human being allows the human being to be able to have ideas. Yes, this is not our idea in our religion, duality, that left separated from material. You are born material substance. Why would you separate it? Allah told us that we are material. Material substance. We are born material substance. That's what the earth is for us Muslims. Our life is the whole. Our life allows us to understand that we are whole, one life, that one life, the human being. I have a physical body, but I do not function a physical body. I have no functions over that. It moves that body. I am also having a mind in my absence of me not standing the necessity of your taqwa. So your physical body is acting the way Satan wants it to act. You have an appetite. You have an appetite for that which is not good for you, but you choose to use it. So you separate your spirit from your material substance of life. I also have a spirit in the body. Those things work together, but my mind and my spirit, co-body, is not in the same understanding as it was created for us to be. So most of us try to use our mind, but our spirit gets in our way, and we have to manage our spirit. But people who try to manage their spirit divide the powerful muscles, that powerful muscle, that life. It keeps you to want to hold it together. Many women love a man with muscles. Yes, they do. Love a man with muscles. Yeah, but that's all they got. That's all they have. But we do not read that in the Holy Quran about anyone's physical muscle. And these are the things, brothers and sisters, that don't allow us to develop it, to allow us to develop the things that put the real muscles in your intellectual mind so you can use it, so you can use it and be able to help one another. That's alhamdulillah. That's alhamdulillah, Rabbi al-Alameen. I can get carried away because I can't help everybody to think about we are free in life. And it disturbs me. I don't care how much I make. I don't care how much I lose. But it just disturbs me. I ask Allah to bless me to help those who would love to help themselves. For Allah, God, the Most High, to glorify is his name, sent us Muhammad, the prophet, the purifier, the belief, so they can be purified and believe in God. Yes, we need to know that. If we don't understand that God is in charge, then we don't understand that God is here to help us. Well, when we was born, brothers and sisters, Allah created his angels and said, you are created to help my human being. Isn't that amazing? We was created to help society with the help of the angels, with the help of the jinn. We was able to have, you say, well, you just talked about the jinn. Why would we let the jinn help us? We talking about that jinn Allah has given to us. Praise be to God. We read in the Holy Quran, that small chapter, Aas, and sisters and brothers, I would love to be able to teach that. Because we ask Allah for protection from Satan, the enemy of all human beings. We do. We say, Bismillah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. We ask him to accept us. And as long as you beg Allah to accept you, he hears you. And don't let nobody tell you Allah don't hear you because you didn't speak Arabic. Allah hears all his subjects. But we need to come together, brothers and sisters. We need to come together and we need to be able in life share with one another. I'm not going to wait for you. But I think I did a lot in one decade in trying to give you what's right and what's wrong and what's good for you and what's not good for you. I tried my best. And I believe that you will come willingly or by force. But I'm going to move on and take those who are listening. We'll be down in Atlantic City. We'll be down there in Atlantic City at the Showboat. And there's a young brother, Marvin. And Marvin is the promoter. And whatever I can help him to do, so be it. And he came to me and told me what he needed. I said, done. He called me uncle now. Because no one ever said, you do this, you do that, and I'm going to do this and do that for you. Well, I'm an asset. I told him, give me 150 to 200 tickets, and I'll sell them in no time. 200, 150. Because you die $150 to get in. They're gone. Well, who would you sell it to, Ron? Well, I can't go to broke people. They don't have no money. I went to my Italian brothers. They took them all. Now I'm getting them rooms. Ah, you coming back? I ain't say I'm coming back. Thinking about it, but I ain't say I'm coming back. But if I can help another human being and help us. So he said, well, where are we going to stay? I said, watch me. Y'all like to come in and party and have a good time and you have to go in a hotel that would do that for you. I'll get you the rooms for free. $150. That's what I do. That's what I do. But I try to do it for our community. If we had started 10 years ago, I guarantee you it's a lot. I guarantee you we'd have had at least $100 million in the bank. This is so easy. It's so easy, but we are jealous, we're envious, and Allah ain't going to let you grow in life at all, none at all. There's people came and get in the grave line. And I did a sister a favor, and I didn't know how good of a favor I told, because I told another group. I'll give it to you where I gave her from. And father called me in. He's upset that he ain't paying what his sister paid, his daughter paid. And I said, brother, I did that for a major reason. She wanted six. So I gave her a cut for six. But she didn't end up getting six. Did I add it all back on? That's not me.
I ain't in selling flats. That was all for my family who decided they ain't coming back this way. I don't blame them. Earth is earth. I don't care if you're in Saudi Arabia. Stay there. I don't need your body. Oh, don't say that to these spooky brothers. I don't need the body. That's earth. The spirit ain't in there. So this is life. And I think I did a great deal in trying to help a whole lot of people. But Harriet Tubman has been in my ear, my eye. I'm telling you right now, I could have freed many of them if they didn't believe they were slaves. We believe, brothers and sisters, that we're supposed to be broke. In association brings about assimilation on broke people. I'm not broke. I mean, I can touch the physical cast, but I ain't broke in my mind. I trust in Allah, patience in Allah. And I believe that all this is going to be turned around. Why? Because God said, I ain't say it. Allah glorified his name, said distinctly, listen, they plot and plan, and God plans, and God is a vessel planner. So we're living in the right time, but you have to believe it. I thank you for listening. If I say anything to hurt anyone, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. If I said anything that's incorrect, I'm human. I make mistakes. We say subhanAllah. If I split any verb, for all you people that can speak very articulate, I said, but I think you got the point. Because however I speak, these 3 million people would not be listening to me. And if I had to cut it, how many of us that I grew up is listening? And I say about 20%, 25%. But Imam Wali Muhammad said, but you got all humanity. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. So yes, brother, what you didn't know how to do, nephew, you didn't know how to go where the money was at. Men that got jobs. But give them what they want. They love boxing. Give them what they want. Let them have fun. Let them do whatever they want. They coming. Because there's a Caucasian that was brought to me by a former FBI. And he said, Ron, this is a rarity. But you only one will take care of that family.